I'd just like to read four short passages of scripture tonight. 1 Kings in chapter 18, and it's on page 470 in the version of the Bible that I'm reading from. So that's 1 Kings in chapter 18 and verse 21. Then Elijah drew near to all the people and said, "How long do ye halt between two opinions? If Jehovah be God, follow him, and if Baal, follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Luke's Gospel in chapter 8, and that's on page 1234. Luke chapter 8. And I just want to read the first clause of verse 25. "And he said to them, where is your faith?" The Epistle to the Hebrews in chapter 2, that's on page 1448, and read from verse 9. "But now we see not yet all things subjected to him, but we see Jesus, who has made some little account to angels, on account of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, so that by the grace of God he should taste death for everything." And finally, in John's Gospel, in chapter 17, that's on page 1293 and verse 3. "And this is the eternal life, that they should know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." If I was to go around the hall tonight and ask each and every person here, do you know what it is to be saved? Or are you saved? I wonder what response I would get from you. You know, the gospel is a wonderful message from God himself. It's God's glad tidings. It's concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. But you know, it has enormous relevance to you and me, dear hearer, and to men everywhere. God's heart is reaching out towards his creature, and that's a wonderful thing. I hope tonight, I wish I could convey something of the wonderful blessings that God has in mind for you, dear friend. I wish I could really impress upon you the greatness of God's love for you, the greatness of what God wants to give you, and I wish I could also convey the seriousness of what it would be to reject God's message of love. Because those that reject the gospel, those that reject Christ, they face a terrible end. And it's not what God has in mind for you. He desires that all men should be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. And God is a God who loves you. We're living in a world where there so many people are trying to deny the very existence of God. I read from this first scripture in Kings because Israel was God's chosen earthly people. And they turned away from God. It was a great day of apostasy. Now in this country, Great Britain, England, is a country that has been much favoured with gospel light and the knowledge of God. And yet we're now living in a day when people are openly rebelling and turning away from God. There are so many messages out there. And this brought me to this scripture where Elijah speaks to these people. Elijah is a very interesting man, a prophet of God, sent to convey God's message to Israel at this great time of turning away and of apostasy. Ahab was the king on the throne at that time. He was a very wicked king. He did more evil than all had ever lived before him. And then God sends his prophet to speak to him, to speak to Ahab. And he brings in a time where the rain stopped. He prayed that it shouldn't rain according to God's word, and it stopped raining. There was no dew. I'm not sure how long the period was, but it was a number of years. It caused great concern and worry and devastation upon the nation. Ahab sought Elijah because he wanted to kill him. And Ahab, he became an idolatrous man. He built altars to Baal, God of the sun. And yet, eventually, God's word comes to Ahab at this point in the scriptures, a great meeting place. Now, I used to love this scripture when I was a youngster, and those that are acquainted with the scripture probably love it too. And if you haven't read it, then I would encourage you to read the story. Wonderful demonstration of the power of God seen through this prophet Elijah. And I would wonder if there's anybody here tonight, are you halting between two opinions? This is a word that came from Elijah. How long, he says, will you halt between two opinions? If Jehovah be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. It would seem like these people were oscillating. One minute they were thinking Jehovah is God, another time they were turning to Baal. But as I said just now, there's so many opinions out there in the world today. But I trust tonight that God's word may come to you to rest you in your soul as to where you stand before him tonight and realize of your great need of having to do with God, but too coming to know that he is the true God. When Elijah asked this question, this was a great gathering together of all the prophets of Baal, 450 of them. And it was also a gathering of many of the people of Israel. They gathered to this point, and then Elijah was to test them as to the existence of their god Baal. And they built this offering, and they built this altar, and they took a bullock, cut it in pieces. And he said, now you call upon your God. Call upon your God that fire may come down from heaven and consume the offering. And these men, these prophets of Baal, they danced around their offering. They called upon Baal. There was no answer. And so Elijah, you know, he mocks them. He mocks him. He said, maybe he's gone to sleep. Well, we know a God who neither slumbers nor sleeps. And he watches over us. Wonderful thing that, isn't it? But Elijah, he taunts them. I went from morning to midday and still no answer. And then it came to Elijah's time. It was his turn. And he pours out the water on this offering. Tells them to cover it with water, which they do. And he repaired the altar of Jehovah. He built up this altar, put on the bullock. And he called upon the God, Jehovah his God. And fire came down and consumed the offering. Had an incredible effect upon the people. They said, Jehovah is our God. Jehovah is our God. Now, I don't want to go on talking about Elijah or this story, but I want to tell you about the wonderful grace of God, of who the offering speaks of. It's the person of the Lord Jesus, that God loves you, friend. And he wants to bless you. And he wants to give you, as I said at the beginning, he wants to bring you wonderful blessings. The gospel goes out that you might be blessed. But you have to realize that your condition before God as a person who is deeply sunk in sin. You've sinned and offended the holy and righteous God. God has provided a means and a way of meeting your need, my friend. There's nobody else in the universe who can meet your need, but God can meet it tonight in the person of the Lord Jesus, because Jesus is the one who came from heaven. We sung of him in that hymn. He came from heaven to this earth. He walked a pathway here of obedience to his God. But that obedience meant that he had to go to the cross where he had to die and suffer. The just one. He never sinned. He was holy and righteous and pure. The just one for the unjust ones. And that's all of us here and all have ever lived upon the face of the earth. And Jesus came, dear friend, to take that sin away from the sight of a holy and righteous God. God is holy. He is righteous. He must judge sin. He must condemn sin. And he has done so in the person of Jesus. Jesus was the one that went to the cross. Wicked men, they crucified him. They said, away with him. We will not have this man to reign over us. If you want to read the scriptures, you read of the life of Jesus. Think of his pathway. Think of what he did to people. The blessings he brought in. He gave blind people sight. He opened the ears of those that were deaf. He raised the dead. He healed the lepers. Wonderful pathway of blessing from Jesus. And yet, men didn't want to have him in their lives. Think of that scene in Gadara, where that maniac, that man who was possessed by the devil, Jesus met him. And he says, as a result of him speaking to him and healing him, he sat clothed and sensible at the feet of Jesus. You know, Jesus can turn your life around, my friend. And I desire that everyone in this room that their lives may be turned around today, that they may come to trust this person implicitly for their salvation. That's why I read in that next scripture in Luke, just that one verse, where is your faith? What a challenge that is to our hearts today. Where is our faith? Is it in the scientists? Is it in the politicians? Is it in business, in commerce? Is your faith in your savings, in your financial dealings? You know, these things will all fail. But I can tell you one person who will never fail, and that's Jesus. And he loves you. God loves you. His love has been displayed by Jesus when he was on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What words they were uttered by Jesus when he hung there. They were crucifying him. They were hurling abuse at him. And Jesus hung there and meekly bore the sufferings. Think of the indignation, the humiliation at the hands of men. But then there's 3 hours where God closed that scene in darkness, where no human eye can penetrate what Jesus suffered from the hand of God himself. That he knew what sin was to God. He knew what it meant. What an offense it was, how terrible it was. And Jesus, he bore the suffering. The intensity of those sufferings we cannot enter into. But we can hear his words. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I trust there will be an answer in the hearts of everyone in this hall tonight. That Jesus, he endured those sufferings for you. That you can say, it was for me. Lord Jesus, thou didst die. That thou didst suffer for me. You know, it's very personal, the gospel, isn't it? You know, people, we live in a world where things aren't personal. It's the mass of people, but the gospel is personal. It's individual. It comes to you to meet you in your need. I don't know your life. I don't know your history. I don't know your worries and concerns at the present time. But I know one who does, and that's God himself. And I know that he's given his son that he might meet your need. And I know that he can meet your need. And he can take away your sins. You know, we don't like to talk about sins, do we? I was speaking to someone the other week, and they were telling me that the church have got a new minister, and this person was conveying to another person, he does go on about sin a bit much. Well, that's the important thing, isn't it? He goes on about sin because that's the root problem of everything that's wrong in the world. Maybe you don't like to hear the word sin. Don't want to speak about it. People call sin good these days, and what's bad, what's good they call sin. It's a very confused world we live in. As I say, there's so many mixed messages. But get your direction from God and from his word of what he calls sin, what's an abomination to him. But you know, Jesus, he suffered. He bore in his body on the tree all my sins. And he bore them for you, if only you will believe. And we can point to a work that has been completed because he died and then his blood was shed. Jesus cried on that cross, it is finished. He endured those 3 hours. It is finished, he said. And after that, the soldier came and pierced his side and out flowed blood and water. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. All sin. Every sin. And it's available for whosoever shall call upon the Lord. If you want to be saved, I asked you at the beginning, what would you say? Have you ever called upon the name of the Lord? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that he's been raised amongst the dead. That's why I read in Hebrews, it says there, that scripture, we see Jesus crowned with glory and honour. Where do we see Jesus crowned with glory and honour? Not in Buckingham Palace, not in any of this world's palaces. We see Jesus crowned with glory and honour in heaven. That's where he is. That's where the gospel comes from today. It comes from an ascended Christ. He's been into death. He rose the third day. These are facts and truth, friend. Lay hold of them. And he went up to heaven. And he's there at God's right hand. And that's where he's waiting to bless. We see Jesus crowned with glory and honour. God has crowned him. Think of it, says Jesus has been received up into heaven. Think of the glory as Jesus went up into heaven on that ascension day. Think of how he would have acclaimed and be received. He's honoured in heaven. Is he honoured in your heart? Is he honoured in your life? You know, that's what God is wanting to do tonight. He's wanting you to find Jesus as your own personal saviour. To have a real relationship with him. To come and know this person for yourself. I wish I could convey it to you. I wish I was in the enjoyment of these things more. But what I can do is I can convey to you the facts of the gospel. And that's the one thing to lay hold of, the truth of the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he raised again according to the scriptures. I point you back to God's word all the time, because this is where you will find the substance of everything and the truth and the stability. Even as preachers, we often say things that aren't right, but God's word is pure and holy and right. It never fails. And friend, if you're in trouble or need, come back to God's word and trust it for yourself. What a word it is to us at the present time. May we value his word and value the scriptures. And so that scripture in Hebrews, it says, we see not yet all things subjected to him, but we see Jesus, who was made some little inferior to angels on account of the suffering of death. I can't really explain that, apart from the fact that it conveys us to the fact that angels aren't subject to death, but Jesus, who is God, came into manhood. He became subject to the suffering of death. He had to be, were there to be a basis for blessing. And he says, we see not all things subject to him. You know, there is a day coming soon when everything's going to be subject to him. Jesus is going to claim his kingdom and his throne. He's going to come back to this earth, and all those that love him and have come to trust him as their saviour are going to come with him. It's not a fantasy, it's in the scriptures. It's not a cleverly imagined story I'm telling you tonight. You can find it out for yourselves. He's going to come back to this earth and going to claim his kingdom. What a day that will be. The man who went out by way of a cross is going to come with the clouds. Great power and glory coming with him. And he's going to set everything right. What a person Jesus is. He's well worthy of your confidence. He's well worthy of your trust. If you've never put your faith in him, do it, friend. Do it today. Do it now. Now is a well-accepted time. Cannot promise tomorrow. Cannot promise another day. God gives you now. That's God's time. The devil's time, he'll say, put it off. There's too much to do. Too much enjoyment to have in life here. My friend, do not delay. Do not put off this most serious matter that you have to face in your life. You have a soul, a never dying soul. If you reject Christ, if you reject the gospel, if you continue on that path, or you lose your life as an unbeliever, you will be raised in your sins and have to face the judgment of it. And how horrific and terrible that is, I cannot explain to you. We only read of it in the scripture, in Revelation chapter 21, where they're cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, where we have the great white throne, and then those who didn't believe were cast into the lake of fire to be there with the devil and his angels. How solemn it is, how haunting it is, you might say. But there is no need for anybody to go there. The lake of fire was created for the devil and his angels. It wasn't created for man. So if you just come and trust in Jesus and put your faith in him and his finished work, you can be safe and secure. And it's certain. It's certain salvation. It's not a question of how you feel about it. You know, some days we don't feel too great, do we? We don't feel like maybe we're saved. That's how the devil operates. He wants to bring in doubt. You're not trusting yourself. You're not looking inside. You're looking outside. You're looking to Jesus. And you look into what he's done. That's where your confidence and strength lies, in your faith, my friend, and in relation to your trust. That's why Jesus said, where is your faith? Is it in him? It has to be in Jesus. And I urge you to put your faith and trust in him. Do not halt or listen to halt between other opinions. There's plenty of voices, as I said. Listen to God's word as it would come to you tonight. And so it became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things. What a statement that is. Of whom are all things and by whom are all things. That is Jesus. In bringing many sons to glory, to make perfect the leader of their salvation through sufferings. It says that by the grace of God he should taste death for everything. And if you look at a note in the scripture here, it says for everyone. That means it's available to all. That's available to you and me and to whoever calls upon the name of the Lord. And so I come into John 17, this wonderful chapter, the Lord's Prayer to his Father. Not wanting to go into the details of that, but it was at this that he came. This is the eternal life, that they should know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. We started with Elijah. We started with the fact that they were halting between two opinions, whether Jehovah was God or Baal. Well, Jesus came to make known the only true God, that you might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. There is no other. We were reminded in a preaching last week that there is no other name given amongst men by which we must be saved. It's the only person who can save you. He's the only one who has actually suffered and died for you. He's the only one that has borne the penalty of sin in his body on the tree. And he's available for you to call out in faith tonight. That's what we preach, it's faith. Faith to faith. I'm preaching this word in faith that someone here tonight will respond in faith to the word and find what it is to have peace with God. Wonderful thing to have peace. You know, we're living in a world of all unrest, terrible insecurity. But we can have peace. Peace in relation to now and peace in relation to eternity. To know that you are forever blessed and forever safe if you put your faith and trust in Jesus. I know you will face trials if we're left here. I know their problems and doubts and fears. They lay hold of us all. Preacher's not unaware of this. He has the same feelings as everybody else. But we can trust one who can carry our burdens and carry our sorrows. It's the Lord Jesus and is available to be your personal saviour. It's very personal, as I said, the gospel, between you and the Lord. If you haven't trusted him, put your trust in him tonight and call upon him. Call upon him while he is near. You might not ever get another opportunity. And I want you to be sure as to your salvation tonight. And it can only be sure as you call upon the Lord. Well, may you do so. And may every one of us be freshly encouraged for his name's sake. Amen.